I'm glad that you're here this morning. We are going to wrap up our message series called Generous, where we have been learning how to be generous with our time, talent, and treasure. But not just how to be generous, but what happens? What happens when we are generous with our time, talent, and treasure? And if you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, you know what I'm going to say. It unleashes God's kingdom into the world around us. And we get to be a part of that. And it's an exciting thing. Just by you being generous with your time, and being generous with your talent, and being generous with your treasure, it unleashes God's kingdom into the world around you. Now, we've covered a couple of weeks here about time and talent. Now we're leading up to this thing about treasure. Treasure. Yes, your treasure. What do you think I'm going to talk about? Your money? Well, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. That's kind of the thing. But it's a hard thing to talk about, isn't it? There's like this stigma to talking about money or finances or our treasure, our silver, our gold, that kind of stuff, isn't it? Like it just starts right in the world in which we work, where we get this money from, right? Our employment, we're not supposed to talk about how much we make with the other people that are working there. It's like, oh, hush, hush, shh, don't talk about it, right? Like there's some kind of secret that you have. Like if it were out there, it could disrupt things and throw everything into chaos and disorder. You don't talk about this, right? You might make some more than someone else, or God forbid, you make less than them doing the same job, right? Right? So there's this kind of thing about talking about your money that no one wants to do, and yet the Bible is filled with talking about our treasure, our money. And we're not going to talk just about treasure as in money. We'll use that to help guide us, but we're also talking about our other treasure, the treasure that fills our cupboards and our closets, that fills our garages and our mini storage places, right? All the stuff that we have, and how to be generous with it, and what does it look like to be a part of something that unleashes God's kingdom into the world around us, right? And it has to do with our finances, our treasure. And so I'm going to invite you into entertaining a couple of things. There's a couple of economies. Right? There's a couple of economies out there, and if you think I'm going to talk about the red economy or the blue economy, I'm not talking about those economies. It's not the economies I'm talking about. I'm talking about that there's a world economy, right? The way in which we as human beings go about operating in an economy, and then there is a God's economy, okay? The way that God invites us into seeing how his economy works, okay? So the world economy, we know this one pretty well. This is the way we work. There's money out there to be had, or it's things to buy that we have. But there's a scarce amount, isn't there? There's only so much. And so we need to get as much as we can. Sometimes we store that up because we need that to last for years to come, or we don't know when more will be coming, and so we need to store that up. Now, is that a bad thing? Everyone, please say no. That's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. That's not what I'm talking about, right? But it has this mindset of scarcity. There's only so much, so I need to get as much as possible for me, okay? There's that mindset. But God's mindset, the thing that he invites us into seeing throughout the Bible is a different economy, one of abundance, that there is so much out there for you and for others that it changes the way that you treat other people, the way that you even treat the treasure that you have. God's economy is about having enough for you and for others, right? It's a completely different mindset. And it starts with us entertaining the idea that the Bible lays out there and God affirms in saying that all the stuff that you have, right, the treasure that you put in your storage places and the treasure that you have in your bank accounts and your cupboards and your closets, all that stuff, that treasure is actually, it all belongs to God. You can't take it with you. You're going to leave it here. The best you can do is be a good manager of it, right? And so, because it's all God's. That's the way God's economy works. Let me show you a couple of ideas, and these are just a couple out of many, to show you how this works. So a psalmist is writing this poem and singing this song about all the things that belong to God. So Psalm 89, verse 11 says, the heavens are yours and the earth is yours, right? He's talking to God. God created the heavens and the earth, right? Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. Who created all this? Michael Baim? Definitely not, right? Definitely not. Best I can do is remodel something. I'm really good at tearing things down. Building back up, right? Right? Did I create this? Did you create all this stuff? The money that you earned, did you make that? Right? Do you see kind of what I'm saying? Like, it all belongs to God, all of this stuff. That's a different mindset, isn't it? It's putting a different focus on it. Instead of going like, oh, I just got to get all this stuff that's enough for me. Wait a minute, let me stop and see what I've got. And you're like, man, all of this stuff. Look at the whole world. All the stuff that's here, all this treasure that's God. He created it. In fact, God will affirm this through one of his prophets as he speaks through the prophet Haggai in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. He says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Right? He's just saying, listen, this, understand. You think this stuff in your bank account is yours? It's mine. I'm letting you have some of it, right? It's kind of what I look at with my boys. They're 11 and 9, and they each have their own rooms, right? And they, if you have kids, you know what this is like. They have their rooms, and like, guys, you got to keep your room straightened up and all of this. Like, well, it's my room. I can have it the way I want. Well, you pay the mortgage. You can have it any way that you want, right? Whose room is that? That's my room. I'm letting you use it, right? In a way, right? We get that. And then ultimately the house, whose is the house? It's not mine, right? I get it, right? But it's that kind of mindset. Let's change our mindset around this so that we can see God's economy at work. Now, when we look at this economy, you're like, oh, that's a great economy. Let's just think about how this works and how we can contribute to others and we've got enough stuff and everything like that. But so why does it feel? Why does it feel like, even if you're a follower of Jesus and you're trying to be generous with your treasure and all of that, that it feels like there's just scarcity? It feels like there isn't enough to go around, right? It just can feel that way, can it? Well, what is going on with that? There's what I'm calling supply chain issues with God's economy. Yeah? Do you guys remember supply chain issues? No, if you haven't, I'm going to show you one picture and say two words to remind you, okay? Here's the picture. Here's the two words, toilet paper. This is the world economy functioning at its finest. Absolutely, right? Everything's going to shut down. We don't know what the future's going to hold. We don't know what it's going to be like, so I need to get as much of this product. For some reason, we thought toilet paper was the thing we needed the most of. You know, the world is coming to the end. Boy, I better be able to wipe my, you know, I mean, come on. Come on. All right. So, but do you see this? This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is a supply chain issue, and it's all based on God, the world economy. I got to get as much as I can. And how much did I determine was enough for me? Because there's a scarce amount. How much is there enough for me? 3-4 cartloads? I don't know. As much as I can fit into my minivan or whatever, right? That's the world economy functioning at the best. And sometimes there's things like that seep into God's economy that cause supply chain issues. It does. And it's not just an Old Testament thing and an old Bible thing. It happens with us today. We, in some way, participate in a supply chain issue with God's economy. And a lot of it has to do with our mindset and with our heart. And our attitude, okay? So there's three areas that I'm going to touch on that are supply chain issues for us, okay? The first one is all about withholding from God's economy, right? I'm not going to participate in it. I'm just not going to do that. And that has a connection with the second one is just our very attitude about God's economy, right? We get into this place of like, man, there just isn't enough, right? There just isn't enough. And then the third thing is just right out foolishness, okay? Just the foolish way we behave in God's economy, right? Or with our own things, like toilet paper, guys. Like things like that, okay? So we're going to break these down. And I'm just inviting you to see what God wants to show us, okay? And I know that when we talk about money, there can be this feeling of maybe shame. or maybe there's some guilt. Don't need to have that here, okay? We don't need to have that here. I'm just going to invite you to see what God is trying to show us and encourage you, because that's what God's economy is about, right? Encouraging us to participate in it so that we can unleash God's kingdom into the world around us instead of participating in the supply chain issue, right? Okay? So let's take a look at some of these. So we're going to walk through them. In fact, they're all connected. It's in a beautiful way, at least in my mind. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, okay? So the first one I want to look at is withholding from participation in God's economy, right? We're just not going to be a part of that. This is not a new issue at all. There's a time in this group of people called the Israelites that were a very small nation, and God graciously and generously partnered with them and gave them this land that was theirs, and they even had their own kingdom. Lots of gold, lots of silver, lots of things that they got to partake in, including this place of worship called the temple. And for them to be connected with God, for them to come near to God, for them to have this relationship with God, God invited them into giving back a portion of all the stuff that he had given them, okay? This is something that is just perfectly in their mindset. All things are God's, and God says, hey, for us to have this relationship, here's how you can show your thanks to me. Here's how you say thank you. Here's how you can draw near, and it was giving back a portion of it. It was called a tithe, and tithe just means 10%. So out of the 100% that they had received from God, that's their mindset, right? All of it is God's. They would give back 10% to God as a thank offering, and it would go to the people that could not provide for themselves, which are mostly the priests and some other people in need associated with the temple, right? The place of worship, the very place they would go to connect with God and draw near to God, right? So that's what this is about. And they stopped doing it. They stopped giving that tithe to God's place. And of course, what happened? Well, people suffered for it. And the world economy started to take over. They became a supply chain issue. And God speaks to through one of his prophets to draw attention to this and invite them into participating in his kingdom and his economy, right? Malachi 3:10 is where we find this. So God is speaking through Malachi, and he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, all of the tithe. Apparently, they weren't bringing it all. They give a little bit. Like, well, I know it's 10%, but I'm going to give 2 because that's probably enough, right? There's something going on there. So bring all of it into the storehouse. Pay attention to the storehouse theme. That's going to come up again and again. So there will be, say it, enough, right? So there will be enough food in my temple, right? If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, here's what's going to happen, right? I will open up the windows of heaven for you. What a beautiful imagery. It's just gushing down. It's like a flood, flooding down. I'll open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Let's just stop right there and think about what's happening. God is inviting them, just do the thing that I said you were going to do. Like, just fulfill that. Fulfill that piece of it. Bring that tithe into the storehouse. Then there will be enough for these people that need it, that can't provide for themselves in this way, right? Because of the work they're doing on your behalf. That's different than another economy, okay? Right? They're doing work on your behalf, so they can't go and provide for themselves, so you're going to provide for them, right? Okay? So if you do that, there will be enough. In fact, when you experience that in such a blessing being poured out onto you, such generosity from God, you won't have enough what? You won't have enough room to store it away. Yeah? Isn't that crazy? I think that's a beautiful look at this whole economy. And then God just challenges him. He says, try it. Okay? Try it. Test me. Put me to the test. Now, if you're an ancient Israelite, you hear put me to the test, then you should be going, oh, no, we don't do that. We don't test God. We tried that in the wilderness. That did not go well, right? That did not go well. So they should be hearing that. And yet God's inviting them, let's try it. Try it. See what will happen. And I'm promising you, if you connect with me, right? If you have this relationship with me that can go, you know what, all of this is God's, and he's just asking a thank offering back to say thank you, and I'm going to give him this 10%, this fraction of all that he's given me, that's all it takes, and I get to experience such blessing as unleashing God's kingdom around me, that's crazy. This is all about God's treasure is for you. It's generously given to you for your needs and those in need, right? That's what this whole thing is all about, that God's treasure is generously given to you for your needs and those in need, okay? It's a whole different mindset. So that's kind of cool, right? That's kind of a cool thing that God is inviting people to be a part of, right? Come and just give this tithe. And I can speak on behalf of when Amanda and I were first married. In fact, even before that, we were joining our bank accounts when we were engaged. And we did that. We were like, let's give a tithe. Let's give our 10%. And somehow, I don't know, God's math works out. Because as we'd sit down and do our budget, I'm like, we don't know how this all adds up. And yet every single time we experience God's blessing, they were like, we're just completely amazed by this. How does it all work out? I don't know, okay? There's no secret formula. I'm just saying we tried it and we experienced amazing things. Now, that's one area to look at, right? Are we withholding from being a part of God's economy? Now, maybe that's with finances. Maybe that's with other things that you store away, right? Other things that you put in your cupboards and things like, I just need to keep this here. I need enough toilet paper, right? Well, let's not be too silly, right? That's the mindset that we have. But there's something else connected to it, isn't there? That's the second part of this whole thing that gets in the way of God's generosity being unleashed, right? The supply chain issue. And it's our own attitude. The own attitude that we have about God's economy. Now, you might even be thinking, like, I don't think that's a great economy. That's not going to work for me type of thing. Okay, I get that. But let's be honest with ourselves and take a look at that attitude. There's a church in Corinth, and they were having a rough time. And I like this passage because it's from a group of people that were mostly non-Jewish, right? So the other one we got that was Jewish, now we got one that isn't. And yet they're followers of Jesus, and there's still a similar issue. And the writer to this letter to the church in Corinth, you can hear Malachi 3:10 in what he's writing to them, yet he does it in a different way, right? He's just trying to get them to give anything, right? To be concerned about someone other than themselves, just to try giving something, anything. Doesn't even put a number on it. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 9, verse 7 through 8. He says, you must decide in your heart, like you each must decide in your own heart how much to give. Just think about that for a second. You decide. Who decides how much to give? You. You decide. Right? In your heart. Is that 10% the thing that you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it? Fine, do that. But anything is a good thing, right? Just you decide what it is. We put it on you. You decide in your heart, the place that you make decisions, the place that you have emotions, right? Your will. Your thought process. This is what he's talking about with a heart, right? You decide. Each of you, individually, you decide how much you're to give. I think that's fascinating. That's actually encouraging, right? Like, what is it that we got? What kind of stuff do we got here? I just want to give something, do something. That's kind of encouraging. Each of you must decide how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. Here's the attitude, right? Ugh. Pastor Michael said I had to. I remember the TP days. I have too much TP. Right? Like, don't give reluctantly. Don't do it because, like, oh, I got to. Or this other one, in response to pressure. Anybody ever experienced a high-pressure salesperson? It's been a long time since I've experienced that. I don't know if they've just kind of gone away or not, but Amanda and I did. We'll never go back to that place. Like, we didn't buy the car because of that. We're like, no, I'm holding my ground. I'm digging in. You want to force me to sign this thing? What's it going to take for me to get into this thing? It ain't nothing ever going to take to get me into that car. Like, I just dug in. It's not going to happen, right? Don't give because of response to pressure. That, exactly. You decide, right? There's no pressure in that. You decide. Because what happens if you get to decide? You get to have a new attitude about it. Not reluctant, not pressured, or feeling guilty or ashamed or something like that. But because you feel good about it, right? You're cheerful about it. God loves a person who gives cheerfully, right? Loves it. Heck, here's what I want to give. Awesome. That's good. Right? That's a good thing. And God will provide all you need. Now, the Malachi 3:10, hear it all? A little bit different, right? You decide what to give, but God is going to pour out a blessing on you. In fact, so much so, check out the next final part of 8. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Isn't that an amazing thing to be a part of? That gets me excited. Because here's the thing. Not only can I provide for others, those in need, but there may be a day that I'm one of those in need. I've been there. You may have been there. You may be there now. And if God's kingdom were unleashed in the world around you because people could change their attitude about giving, just give something. And something that you feel good about giving. Just start there. See the blessing poured out. You have everything that you need, and including those that are in need. God's treasure is generously given to you for your needs and those in need. Completely different mindset, isn't it? Kind of fun. And this last one kind of ties all the things together and hits it really good. Jesus is going to talk about this very issue. You're going to hear the Malachi 3:10 in there. You're going to hear the 2 Corinthians one in there. And you can open right now to Luke chapter 12 if you want to. Or you can follow along on the screen, follow along in the notes if you want to do that. But I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to talk back through it. But I think you can hear all of this being put together, all right? And then we're going to figure out, what is the real issue? What's the real issue he's getting at? Okay, so Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16. This is Jesus telling them a story, a parable. Then Jesus told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I have room. I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." Did you hear any of the other passages in this? Maybe not. What did he experience? So much blessing, so much abundance, so much generosity on God's behalf, right? God opened up the windows of heaven, poured it on. Did he have enough room to put it all away? He did not, right? It's like Malachi 3:10 in reverse, isn't it? He receives all of this stuff, and he builds bigger barns. Uh-oh, don't put your stuff in mini storage. That's not what it's about. That's not the issue, right? That's not the issue at all. It really isn't. What's the issue? Being wealthy and having all this abundance and working hard for it? No, that's not the issue. What's his attitude? What is he doing? He's thinking only about himself. Look, I've got so much stuff here. I can just sit back and enjoy it for many years to come. No one else doesn't think about anyone else. That's what God says he's a fool about, isn't it? Who's going to get the stuff when you die? Because you're going to die tonight. Who's going to get all this stuff? The point of the story is that no one. It's wasted. You didn't think about how you could unleash this blessing to other people. You just stopped it all up and held on to it for yourself. Fool. Fool. You experienced this great blessing and you held it to yourself. All of the stuff is God's treasure. And you think it's just for you. Fool. Fool. Right? And this is the thing. God just invites us into adopting his economy. That his treasure is generously given to you. Just even thinking about that may change your mind, right? Like, I work really hard for all this. Yeah, ain't nothing given. And yet, you have. It's generously given to you for your needs. Enjoy it. Absolutely. You can store it away, but don't lose sight of those that are in need, right? Because you may be one of those in need someday. Right? Do you see it? Do you see how God's kingdom can be unleashed if we can identify these supply chain issues in our life? So what is it for you? You decide, right, in your own heart what it is that you are going to give it, because it makes you happy, right? It makes you cheerful. It's a good thing to be a part of, and it unleashes God's kingdom into the world around you. And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys are so generous, right? And so I want to encourage you in that generosity. This is an encouragement thing. And maybe a bit of a challenge too, right? What is that attitude like? Are there times that I'm like, you know, I'm just going to withhold rather than experiencing that full blessing? My invitation to get this started, of what this looks like, and that we can all then be on the same page, is our little prayer that we've been doing each week, right? Jesus, I give you my time. Jesus, I give you my talent. And what is then do you think I'm going to say about this? Yeah, Jesus, I give you my treasure. It puts everything all together, because let's be honest, sometimes that time is the most precious to us. Sometimes the talent that we have that gains us income is the most precious to us. And sometimes it is our very finances and the stuff that we have that we get to enjoy, and we just withhold that from the rest of God's kingdom, those specifically in need. So Jesus, I give you my talent. It's about giving all that you are to Jesus, that you get to participate in God's generous economy, and it unleashes God's kingdom into the world around you. Jesus, I give you my treasure.